Last week we talked about being led by the Spirit of God. We talked about there's no partiality. We talked about being built together in a dwelling for the Spirit of God. And then this last few weeks have been, the Spirit of God has been really ministering to me through other people, sending me texts, sending me emails, or just words and that's something that flows out of my life all the time, too. My sister gave me this one. It says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward.'" And that was last week's message to us, to go forward. So today I want to talk about how do we go forward. And before I forget, I'm just going to share it right now. But Fred was just telling me that his brother, who is now about 85, he's Dwayne, is that right? He was laying in a bed, and they said in VA about 2 years ago, for a couple weeks, and they just blood on the brain, a stroke, and so they were just, you know, taking care of him and all that, and expecting him to go. He wasn't responding to anything. His daughter just walked in one day, grabbed his hand, and said, "Wake up, Dad." And just like that, he did. Now, keep that in mind as we go into this message about how we go forward. All of us have a part. All the parts are critical. Your part is critical whether it looks like it is or not to you. You may think you're done. You may think you've finished your course. You may say, "Well, I just don't have anything to offer." You may look at yourself as just an observer of life. But that's not the truth. Everybody's part is critical. For you and I to reach our, to fulfill our part, number one, we have to receive the truth that we belong to Jesus and that he has, his purposes will be done in our life. We have to believe. It's by faith all the time, not by sight. Not by how you feel, not the accolades that people give you, not by your own opinion. It's by what he has chosen for you. And then you have to let that word come into your heart that you are important to, not just you're important to him, you belong to him, his spirit's inside of you, you hear his spirit, you are now righteous, which means you are the way you should be. And yeah, you have to let that conceive in your heart, just like a sperm inside an egg. You got to let it conceive that. I just read this the other day. It blew my mind. In your mother's womb, that egg was there available for the seed to go into it. And millions of seeds were trying to get into it. But they're just finding out that it's just not the first one that gets there. There's choices being made. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Your life is anything but an accident. That egg was checking them out, and it was qualifying the seeds before it allowed one to come in. You have to qualify the seeds that come into your heart. Nobody else gets to do that. You get to. You get to decide what word, what truth, what belief that you want to let come into your heart and begin to grow. So from the very get-go, this whole thing that most of us feel sometime in our life that we don't fit, we're a mistake, we're a misfit, low on the food chain is nothing but a lie. Every one of us is an extraordinary, spectacular deep thought in God before the foundation of the world. The thing I think that blows my mind is that God is so big, and that, and this is talked about in Gabe's book here, it's mind-blowing how every one of us can be God's favorite, and his eye is upon us, and he's focused on us, and he is absolutely intimate with us 100% of the time. There's something that we really, you know, if you want to say, I just don't believe that stuff, I'd have to say, I understand why. How great is our God that Jesus can be intimate with every one of us full time, all the time. That's amazing. The question is now, what will we believe? So intimacy, we shared this back in the days of TNC. We just said, you know, intimacy with Jesus is the foundation and the door to triumph in everything you encounter. One of the scriptures that's been really dear to me all my life is, because you're at my right side, I will not be shaken. Because you're in me, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. So now the challenge, and some things have been happening in my life, and obviously in all of our lives. There's been a floodgate lately, and one of the things I remember about, I don't know how long ago, 6 months ago, I was in a place of real meditation with the Lord, and I just said, God, I want to step into a, I want the last 30 years of my life or whatever I get. I want to ruthlessly trust you. And I was challenged on that. I am being challenged on that. Every word that comes into your heart, Satan comes to steal it. He comes to try to kill it. He doesn't try to always kill you. If he can kill the word that's in your heart, if he can kill that seed that went into your heart that's going to produce 100-fold, then that to him is success. And my trust in the Lord was challenged. And all I can say is, in the challenge, you can grow weary, you can get doubt, you can get challenge, you can get wondering, and all I can say is, I'm coming out meaner than a junkyard dog. I still say, God, I want to absolutely trust in you, because you're worthy of it, and because that's what life is all about. And Zechariah says this, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. I believe I'm going to title this message, By My Spirit. In my life, there was a lot of things that Lisa and I did in the early days. We, as we felt led to start this church, and we start our own family and start a business and failed at a business and scared out of my mind most of the time. We had a lumber yard back in the early 80s. There was a recession going on. Lisa caught me in the bathtub with my calculator, trying to figure out how we're going to make it. There's so many areas where I failed as far as just doubting all that, and yet just the righteous stumble and gets back up, and we kept getting back up. But in that process, there were several times where the Lord was helping me understand that many times I said, well, I'm just going to believe God here, but I was also counting a lot on my physical energy and not quit attitude that I had and the ability to work 12, 16 hours a day. So many times we'd give, we'd break all the piggy banks we had and pull every dime out of everything we had and give it to the Lord, sowing in, believing God. But I also knew that I could work 80 hours a week and survive. The flow of finances now and my flow of my body, that don't work anymore. A lot of times, you know, we not only didn't take any salary from the church, but we gave most of the money into the church of anybody. We were the top givers for years. And the Lord said, that's great and that's honorable, but he said, here's the deal. You're trusting way more in your own abilities than you are me. And I said, help me. Help me to grow up. And so it's been years of that. And now I think I'm just about ready to get out of kindergarten. Hallelujah. So what a joy that is. In Acts 9:31, it says this, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. Now, this is a pretty big statement because they were under a lot of pressure. There was a lot of persecution. And then also there was a lot of controversy, and most of it was over Paul. Paul had been torturing the church and all that, and then he got saved and he got radical, and then everything was focused on him. And there was just a lot of strife. And they were going to try to kill Paul. And some of the church members found out about it, and they snuck him up over a wall and got him out of town. And this is when you read this. This is, as they got Paul out of town, it says this. So the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. I didn't think that's... Paul was a high D personality. He liked an antagonistic environment, and he created it quite often. But when he was, I'm just, you know, maybe a little presumptuous there, but when he left, he says, let's enjoy peace. This is the church, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the church, continued to increase. There is a place for battle. There is a place to march around the walls. There is a place to shout victory. But there's also a place to walk in peace and increase. We've been doing that. For us to go forward from here, one of the key things is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God doing it. We can hinder it. We can grieve the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, there's several things, but the biggest one is unforgiveness, strife, bitterness. So that means one of the most powerful things you and I can do as we go forward is to live in peace with each other, with God, with our neighbors, forgiving people quickly. I can't tell you how many people I've counseled in through the years in marriages that are having strife. And really what it boiled down to was a couple little issues that bothered them, and they just kept fighting about it. Somebody just told me the other day, he says, Pastor John, I remember when, oh, I think it was you, Chad. Said, Pastor, I remember when you said, you know, that really gets my goat. Anybody ever heard that saying? And one of the things that I ministered on, well, tie your goat up someplace where nobody can find it. You know what that means? That means that tube of toothpaste that just drives you crazy, when they squeeze it in the wrong place and don't put the cap back on, that's your goat sometimes. Tie it up, hide it someplace, and when you see it, you go, I don't have a goat. It's not an issue. I'm seriously telling you that so many things in our life, we don't live in peace because we make a big deal out of nothing. It isn't that big of a deal. If the dishes aren't all put away, it's not the end of the world, ladies. Men, I'll deal with you later. But here's the thing. Walking in unity, walking in peace, opens the floodgate for the Spirit, your Spirit and the Holy Spirit, to pour out incredible power. to other people. In Acts 15, it reads this, with this, the words of the prophet agree, just as is written, after these things, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it so the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. So the Lord who makes these things known from long ago. There's a unity that we can have, an agreement. It says with this, what they were doing, it was in agreement with the word of God that the prophets had said in the Old Testament. One of the greatest places where we can come into agreement with is all that's been said by the prophets, by Jesus, by the Father God. He spoke through prophets and angels before. He's speaking through Jesus now, it says. And when you and I come into unity with that, not just a yes, amen, I'm in. I'm in total agreement. There is such power released, and it affects the whole world. Matthew 18 says this, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of that. You know, you can say that and say, well, I agreed with my sister once and it didn't happen. You know, watching the World Cup and having played a little bit of soccer and having coached a little bit of soccer, I remember when I had my team I noticed that one of the biggest failures of scoring was the fact that they leaned back and kick it over the goal. So I thought, you know, this is basic, you know, and so I think I had 12-year-olds. And so in practice while we were shooting, if they shot it over the goal, it was automatically you walked over to the side of the field and you did 50 squats or 50 push-ups. Why? Because you got to build that muscle memory and you got to just say, I can train myself to hit the mark. The funniest thing was, the next time we played a game, Mr. Jones, Andy, kicked it over the goal. No problem. But then the other team's got the ball, and I look, where'd Andy go? And Andy was over in the corner doing 50 squats during the game. Afterward, I said, Andy, what were you doing? He says, it made me so mad, coach. I'd rather lose a game but win in my head that I don't do that. That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome. And I'm watching the World Cup players. These are the best players in the world, and they're kicking it over the goal. They should be doing 50 squats. It's something about you and I that can do. We can do some of this in our own life of just saying, this is what I really want to focus in on my life. Not just all the temporal things and making sure I got everything, you know, all that done. I need to focus on the things that really, really count. And one of the things that really, really counts is getting in unity. And the word agreement here in unity, one of the words means symphony. Isn't it one of the most beautiful things to hear a symphony of musical instruments playing together? They tell me that just to be at the World Cup, you know, or the football games or whatever else, when all the whole crowd is moving together, it's incredible the feeling that you get. The symphony I used to love was when we used to build houses and the crew would get into a symphony of building. There was times, it's not all the time. Man, a lot of times you got somebody dragging your feet. You got somebody you got to be coaching all the time. Somebody you got to keep on, hey, would you pick up your tool? Will you get going here? But when there's times that we had crews that actually just, without hardly talking, we just moved as a unit together through the house. So just everybody knew what they're supposed to do. And they were all looking. And when you needed something, you know, you Somebody had already been watching you and already was bringing the tool to you. It was just beautiful. And I mean to tell you, the difference between building in a symphony and building in strife is massive, and it can actually add three times as much time to build a house, as, you know, if you're in strife. As you and I go forward as a church, one of the most powerful things we can do is do what we're doing right now and keep on increasing in it, and that is coming into unity. And unity isn't just passive, it's aggressive. It means you're watching one another, you're caring for one another, you're lifting your head up and you're looking over the field to see where everybody's at. You know, again, in soccer, I used to tell my kids, if I don't see your head going like this all the time, if I only see it like this, you can't be in the symphony. When you're all alone by looking at the ball at your feet, you got to lift up your head and look around. Where are my teammates? Where are they? And know in your head where the plays are going and see it all starting. It's the same way in the spiritual realm. When you and I stop worrying about our personal life, we stop worrying, we trust in Him with all of our heart that He's leading and guiding us and He's going to take care of us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be with us. And that's one of the most powerful things that we're doing with the youth. Jody is nonstop pounding them. You hear from God. And now our young leaders now are telling the younger ones, you hear from God. And He is with you, and He'll never. And this little boy that she was talking about has no idea. Can't be with his mom, can't be with his dad. He has no idea where his life is going. And yet he heard a word that can go into his heart and penetrate and says, Jesus will never leave you. And in one way you can feel sorry for him, but in another way you can say he's going to have an awesome life because he's not trusting in man. He doesn't have a mom and a dad to trust in right now. And if he trusts in the Lord, that will manifest in his life, and God will never forsake him, and he'll be a powerful, powerful child of God. As we go forward, it's way more important. Let's put it this way. More power is going to come out of us by the Spirit of power. More effect on the world is going to happen is if we focus in on who we are instead of what we're doing. Matthew 6:33, you know it. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. His righteousness. Righteous simply means the way it should be, the way you should be. What's the way that you should be? You are a child of God. You have the same nature as God. You have the same love that God has. You have the same faith that He has. You're no longer alive, but now He is alive in you. It's not about you and not about your great faith. It's about the fact that you let that word come in and conceive in your life. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives inside of you. And so you have the mind of Christ. You have the Spirit of God. You have the Spirit of Christ. You have the wisdom of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter there, it just says, by His doing, not by yours, you are in Christ Jesus, who became unto you wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it's not so much what you do. It's just believing that who you are, and who you are is a child of God that is filled with His Spirit. And you are powerful. The more you believe that, the more power and things will be done. But if you just focus on what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to and how can I do it, it's so hard, that squelches it. It's no longer by the Spirit but by your hard effort. You know, that sounds so simple, and it really is. It really is. You just have to get, that's why I said, Lord, I want to get ruthless about trusting in you. Why? Because it's just the easiest thing to trust in yourself or somebody else. Or somebody else's opinion, you know. By the way, when you can know when you're starting to step into that river, because you now just love people, respect them, no matter what they're like, and you don't let their words or their opinion of you have hardly any effect. If you're feeling offended by somebody, step out of the old and step into the new Because when Jesus loves you and respects you and has empowered you, you really don't need anybody else's. It may sound rough. I just need my wife. I just need my husband. I just need my mom. I just need my dad. No, when you really come into this knowledge that he is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you, it's a blessing to have people like you. It's a blessing to be approved by others, but it's not necessary at all. You're free. You're free. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness. So as we go forward, how do we do that? We get in unity with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God. And part of that means our prayer life changes. We're now not praying for our needs. We're now praying, Father, Spirit of God, lead me in my prayer. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to ask. And then we pull out our sword. You know, a sword and a sheath just is a warning to people, but it's not doing anything. You pull it out, you can do battle. And we have the sword of the Spirit. It's one of our weapons that is offensive and not just defensive, like the shield. And the sword of the Spirit is rhema. It's the Greek word rhema. It means speaking the word of God. Now, it's amazing if you can somehow do this. Just start being aware of your own thoughts through the day and the time you're spending thinking about just random things. And think about changing that. Because you can just think about everything, right? What ifs and all that, and da da da, and get into politics, get into something. Oh, yeah, yeah, I don't know why they do that. I don't know, you know. It really is unfruitful. It really brings you down. But just think about switching some of that out to saying, I'm going to take that time I normally spend just muttering all these things about life and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to pull my sword out, and I'm going to do something with it. And I'm going to speak life into people. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak blessings. I'm going to just speak with the Zerubbabel that we just read there in Zechariah. Barnabas said, this mountain's going to move, and you're going to do it by saying, grace, grace. What's grace mean? It means by the power of God, not by mine. The free gift of the power of God, I can speak it. You know, I'm doing way better in this. I've been doing this a lot of years, but I can honestly say my percentage of pulling my sword is up. It's amazing to me. For us to move forward, we trust in him, and we speak more. And we listen more. And we're more available to the Spirit of just saying, I'm in unity with you. Again, back to the symphony, and then I'll close here. When I was working, sometimes I was a boss, sometimes I wasn't. But one thing I did do is exactly what I was talking about. I looked back and forth as the job was going on. And a lot of times I just see somebody get up and I say, your pencil's over there. They go, how'd you know? Been watching you. I saw you put it down and knew you wouldn't remember. And the moment you picked up your head, I knew what you're looking for. I loved it. In ministry, when I'd go over, especially I noticed when I go to the Philippines and we've been doing conferences, a lot of the speakers would get up and they just had their preconceived message. They knew it. You know, they were just sitting around waiting for their time to get up and preach. But for me, I was constantly listening to everybody's message and I was constantly watching the praise and worship and the songs and everything. And so I didn't know what I was going to do for sure. I had my outline. I had all that. But I would watch what was going on and just say, Spirit of God, what are you doing here? And catch the flow. And there's one of the times one of the guys was talking about something, I forget what, about the Spirit of God and just flowing with him. And all of a sudden, I just stood up and started running. The place just came unglued. And the speaker said, see what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. Knowing how to flow. And many times when a speaker got up, the next time when I got up, I referred back to all that he said. What I'm saying is when you start seeing this, you start being secure of who you are, you now can have so much more awareness of the team and of the Spirit of God and start saying things and literally make yourself available. And I want to say, no matter what your age is in here, if you're young and starting out, go after like crazy. If you're older and everything, and maybe you can't do a whole lot physically, but you have the power all day long to say, Spirit of God, I'm available to pray. I'm available to speak life. And here's the deal. Your part's so critical, but here's the deal. No one else needs to believe that but you. No one else's opinion means anything about that except yours. Jesus is all out in. He's all in. He's all in all the time. Will you just step into that faith and said, I just believe it's the truth. Tell me what to say and I'll say it. And I'll say it in faith. And it'll come to pass. Well, what if it doesn't? You think the muttering about all the problems of life and living in fear is doing you any good? And how do you know it's not coming to pass? And you step into the room and you grab the hand and you say, Dad, wake up! And he wakes up. A few of those in life would be worth it, don't you think? Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. We thank you that you don't condemn us. There's no condemnation. We don't have to worry about all that stuff. You've already paid the price for us to be totally free. But now, Father, by choice, we joyfully want to concur with you. We walk in unity with you. We want to hear your, we just want to be active in this. And Lord, it's not about us all going to Philippines or Albania, but we get to be a part in not just the financing of all that, but we get to be a part by speaking, praying for one another. And not just asking, but speaking what you tell us to do. So we speak today in unity. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those things that are not permitted in heaven, we're not permitting them down here. We're not permitting sickness and disease and poverty and fear and anxiety and all those evil works. We declare with our mouth what we believe in our heart, and we're saying it together. We don't permit that stuff. We don't permit that stuff. It's not permitted in heaven. We're not permitting it down here. And we loose and we let go of those things that are permitted and those things that need to take place down here, of the Word of God going out, setting people free, healing their marriages, healing their children, bringing forth victory, bringing forth insight, bringing forth the joy of the Lord. We speak those things in unity. And if you said, if just two of us agree, they'll happen. And my Father, we're just adding to that multitudes of people here, but we speak in it, and this church, this body is going forward in unity of love, speaking the truth, destroying the works of the devil, and setting the captives free, opening the blind eyes, healing the people's bodies, and lifting up the spirits of all, encouraging them in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We step into what you called us to do because we believe it's really important. In fact, it's critical. And we accept it in our hearts. And we believe it. And everybody said, those who really agree said, thank you. Every once in a while, you got to raise your voice just a little bit. I'm hard of hearing. Amen. God bless you.